Oh my god. Hey, we're back. Good news, everyone. Promi's with me again.
Yes, isn't that great? As almost always.
My name's Matt, with me as well, as almost always.
Promi.
And this is, of course, Saki Bamagogo, the Radio St. Pete exclusive. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you've... This is show 25.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've done a much better job percentage-wise on this show than
Radio St. Pete. Yeah, it was a couple of years prior to you that didn't quite pan out.
Hey, I existed. I just was, you know, off in the wings.
You were just off in your own little world.
Yeah.
That's okay, too. So what do you got going on this week, man? Anything exciting?
Well, I'd like to talk a little about Mr. Rogers.
Oh, cool. Oh, before that, great news. Another packet from Japan.
Wow.
I'm freaking out.
They love you. You're big in Japan.
I hope so. Remember I said, oh yeah, last week we got the Pebbles. They sent us a package. They got two new Bam Bam CDs. And we're really thankful. That's so awesome. This week, Shazam. A package comes from Fifi and the Mach 3s, which are now it's Mamie and the Mach 3s.
Did they lose Fifi?
Fifi must have turned into Mamie at some point. That's okay. And they sent me stickers, and they sent me like...
I was about to say, they sent you a lot of stickers.
Look at these CDs I got. How many CDs? Hold on a second. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 CDs.
Wow. And these are going straight to eBay.
And 100 stickers. Oh, I was like, kidding. What? So that one of them is Fifi and the Mach 3s. One is Don't Want Arnold 2005. And what else did they send me here? Punk Heart. Oh, man, I can't read this one. I should have read this before I turned on the... Troublemakers and Fifi and the Mach... Or Fifi and the Mach 3's Troublemaker. And then I'm Ramona from Fifi and the Mach 3's. And, oh, my God, what is this one? All the Time Crazy People, the Groovy Ghouls, and Fifi and the Mach 3, and Power Punk Party. Man, that's so awesome. These
that
guys
is cool.
Are, I can't believe it. I wanted to write him and thank him, and I forgot to, because the bass player is the guy who sent all this stuff to me, and I was like, oh, man. And plus the stickers. Love stickers.
You know what's funny, though, is I've noticed that Japanese punk bands are really committed to the CD as a distribution medium, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Because, I mean, like, it could have been... I mean, I'm sure nobody's going bankrupt sending these things to you, but it couldn't have been
money out of your
couldn't
pocket.
Have been real cheap shipping all that stuff from Japan, and yet they all do.
And I'm like, you can just Dropbox to me if you want. Nah, that's fine. Here's your CDs. I was like, all right. I mean, net win for me. I don't care. But yeah. I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, so I've got a thing in the mail. It was a Wednesday, I think, maybe. It's like, oh my god, I was freaking out. So cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, they took care of us, man. So obviously, we will be playing Fifi in the Mach 3s, and then Mamie in the Mach 3s early and often. So, yay for that.
Yeah.
Now, well, let's play it now, and then when we come back, we'll talk about your trip.
My transformative experience.
Yes, nice. Won't you be his neighbor? Yes. Might be after this. Here's some music. Ah, what the hell? Here's some Fifi in the Mach 3s.
Look, jerky, I don't need to talk to you.
Bye. Because of the interest, it'll be worth billions of dollars.
Oh, I like money.
Yeah.
How many billions?
Like 10.
Yeah, suck one. Time machine costs like 20.
Yeah, okay. 30, Friedel. $30 billion.
30 billion, so if you gave me 30 billion and the time machine is 20, what's the minus of 30 and 20?
It's 80, Friedo. It's $80 billion. That's a mighty big minus, isn't it?
Yeah. I like money, though.
Oh, my God. That was Fifi and the Mach 3s from Hullabaloo. I played Chew Little Baby. I'm Suffering from a Grave Illness. And Cherry Boy. Oh, I hope that... Maybe that's why it's Fifi... Oh, no, maybe that's why it's Mamie in the Mach 3s. Maybe that. Maybe she was suffering... Fifi was suffering from a grave illness. And she didn't make it.
This could be like a Lulu's Marble situation.
I do not think that's the case. But anyway,
let's hope not.
Yeah.
Let's hope not.
I know it's not. All right. Okay. So yes, you had a topic. What are we talking about?
Okay, so I went to see Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is actually going into wide release today as we're recording. So it should be in major theaters now. However, I didn't know that when I went to go see it. I had a friend... that lives over on the other side of the country, and she kind of randomly messaged me one night, and she's like, I'm a mess. I'm in the back of an Uber, and I'm crying, and da-da-da-da, and I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, well, I just went to see this movie.
You're like, you better pick better movies.
I'm like, what movie? And she's like, it was the Mr. Rogers documentary, and she's like, you've got to see it. You got to tell me if you cry, and you better cry.
And you're like, you're crazy, but then she's not.
But she's like, and I'm trying to, she's like, and I'm trying to tell this Uber driver about this, and he's just like, yeah, whatever. And she's like, he's just an idiot, and he doesn't understand, and I'm a changed woman. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. But, and to be fair, the last movie she, to set the stage, the last movie recommendation I got from her was to see a movie called Hereditary, which is this weird, it's a very unsettling, uncomfortable sort of horror movie where you spend three quarters of the movie trying to figure out if the lead characters are all crazy or if there's like something supernatural going on, because they establish a pretty much a baseline, and the, even with the name of the movie Hereditary, as in maybe there's a mental illness that's being passed down. So it's really, really unclear until the end whether this is a movie about people with serious mental problems or whether there's like demons at play. You have to see the movie to find out either way, but it's a very uncomfortable movie. It's one of those movies you walk out of like,
yeah, I gotta go like, and take a shower,
like
or something.
Stressed. Yeah. And that's what they were going for. They did a real great job with it. But to say like, I liked it, I can't really say I liked it because it's not an experience. The way it made me feel was not comfortable, which again was what they were shooting for. So props to them, but I hope I never see it again. You know, and
it's like Grave of the Dragonflies for me.
Yeah,
I don't
ever exactly.
Want to see that movie again.
Exactly,
it ripped my heart out and punched me in the face.
In a different way. That's a more of an emotional one.
That movie wrecked.
Yeah,
me. I
exactly.
Never want to see it again. I thought it was like, beautiful and sad, and I was.
They did every Schindler's List. Another example of something like that. Like beautiful movie, really, really helps you understand the on an emotional level. Got it. Never want to see it again. girl in a pink dress in a black and white setting. No. So I'm looking around, and Tampa Theater has it. They have, they're playing the Won't You Be My Neighbor, and they're the only ones. And it's a documentary, and documentaries tend to be a lower budget, and I'm thinking, like, this might not actually end up going any, you know, that could be my only chance. And Monday was supposed to be the last showing of it there. So I decided to go, and before I went, I even made up this little packet with a little note, because I was all ready to this, because I was gonna send this to her and pretend like they gave it to me at the theater. It was a little little Ziploc bag with a tissue thing and a note, like, you know, for the courtesy of our staff and other guests, please dispose of tissues in the supplied bag. And you know, so I'm like, I'll cue this all up with a little mini tissue pack of that, and
like
I'll take
joke.
The picture. Yeah, like, and I felt like such a jerk after watching the movie.
You didn't send it to her, did you?
I did, but I sent it before the movie, and then afterwards, I'm like, yeah, I'm a, you know, I thought it was going to be funny, and it was a joke, but I didn't know I was actually going to end up using it.
Oh,
so it actually worked out that I did it, because otherwise, I would have had a problem.
He wasn't a bad guy, right?
You know, that's the amazing thing about the movie, is... there is no Bill Cosby reveal of any kind whatsoever.
I hope not. I don't think so.
The most, and it kind of says something about our time and the era that we live in, when the most shocking thing to come out of a documentary about Mr. Rogers is that he actually was the person, and like in real life, he was the person we saw on the screen as a child.
I didn't realize how much change he was trying to enact and how he's trying to actually make the world a better place. That's what the bumper showed, or the trailer, And you're like, wow, that's kind of cool. And as a kid, you don't think about nothing.
And that's the whole point.
That's great and whatever.
And that was his whole point was that, you know, as a child, you know, he looked at TV as a dangerous medium, a potentially dangerous medium. Because of the ability, the way it could impact and shape our minds and our ideas about things.
It could shape an election.
Yeah. and the idea was, you know, that he was an ordained minister, and while he didn't talk about religion on the show at all, he kind of considered what he did his
work
evangelizing, because he was, you know, talking about making the world a better place, talking about things. And some of the subjects on the show, like, they did a week on death.
Yeah, I remember.
Like a week on divorce and stuff. And the very, very first week on the air is they're talking about one of the topics. One of the things that comes up is that King, I can't remember the king character's name, but the king decides he's going to build a wall to keep the undesirables out of his kingdom.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you can't do that. That's not.
But I mean, you know, it's got weird. Bizarre parallels to today. And that was like the first week it was on the air. You know, the. Things like, you know, dealing with race and stuff, you know, and over the span of this show is when desegregation started happening in parts of the country, and things were going really, really rough. And he had a person, we'll say a person of color, you know, a character that was on the show specifically for that. And some of their interactions were specifically done to illustrate the fact that while there was national footage of somebody pouring chlorine, you know, jugs of chlorine into a pool while black people were swimming in them to get them out of it, you know, to basically burn their skin to get them to escape. The next week he's, you know, on a tub washing his feet, and he's like, come on, come over. And it's subtle. It's not, you know, bang my drum about this, but he's looking at this as I have an opportunity to speak directly to children and change the future, you know, generations' view on the things that we see wrong ourselves today.
That's kind of cool. And so you like, it was a good movie?
Oh, it was an amazing movie. And, I mean, just like from beginning to end, and, you know, and it's funny because they go up to 9/11, and at that point his show was off the air. He hadn't been doing any original episodes at that point. And they approached him about doing something, you know, to talk. And he's like, you know, I don't know what I could possibly say that's going to help comfort children in this kind of a situation. And I mean, this coming from him talking about them doing a show on what assassination is after the one Kennedy brother, you know, was assassinated, and them talking about the events of the Challenger shuttle crash. I mean, like major national things.
I didn't realize how long that was on.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought, 30 years. That's amazing.
And he was doing an episode a day.
Wow.
I mean, he poured his life into doing this. And, you know, and he was, again, he was that person on and off screen, and, you know, was kind and generous. I remember watching a show long time ago, an old candy camera, where they were doing, like, harassing people in a hotel. You know, like, they had the cameras all set up in the room, and then, like, they just kept making things worse. Like, the TV's broken, service is bad, whatever. There's some kind of a convention going on in there, and Mr. Rogers happened to be at this hotel at the same time, and they did it to him. They never got him to snap. Like, they eventually had to kind of come in and be, you know, when they do the big reveal, like, oh, it was just a joke. They eventually had to come in and just cut it because they could not get him to break. He, you know, they're like, oh, no, it's okay. I don't need the TV. I was going to read anyway. And then, like, oh, no, you know, that's fine. I can go get my own food. No. I can make my own, you know, like, every single thing they tried to do to piss him off just didn't work. And that was really, really him. But with the 9/11 thing, though, you know, he said that, and it kind of struck me as funny that having a career the way he did, doing what he did for as long as he did, that he would come to a point where he would honestly think that he couldn't do anything. And, you know, thinking back to that time, thinking back to 9/11, and I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, we didn't need him to get on the air and say something for kids. We needed him to get on the air and say something for all of us, because almost all of us had grown up with him. It was, you know, a message to saying that it's going to be okay, that we're going to get through this, that we're going to, you know.
Would have been more powerful than the president.
Yeah.
So, wow. Well, that's cool.
But yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. But yes, it will make, it, no man in leaving that theater would make eye contact with anyone.
And it's like, wow, because you have tears.
It's emotional. I'm sure it'll be on Netflix and stuff before too long, because again, it's a documentary.
Yeah,
but,
and they're just sponges for documentaries.
But all right, yeah.
Cool. All right, we're gonna hear some more music. But thanks for that. That's awesome. I will have to check it out, because I do. I kind of always admired him, and you know, and that's one last thing. What the stuff he talked about and how he talked, that's what I expect from religious leaders. I don't need nothing else.
Yeah.
I all I want to hear is tolerance. All I want to hear is inclusion. All I want to hear is making the world better. I don't need nothing else. And all I hear is other stuff. You know what I mean? And that's part of my rageful tongue towards religion, is I want what he said.
As a matter of fact, you know what? There were actually, and as a matter of fact, they, you know, they talk about his death in 2003, and one of the things is there were protesters at his funeral.
I would have got out of a van and beat them up with a hammer.
And you know why they were protesting? With children there. With children involved. They were protesting because he was not against gays.
Yeah, those guys.
Not because he was out there saying, you know, you need to be gay, but the simple fact that, you know, he had never spoken one way or the other really publicly, but the simple fact that as a human being, had friends that were.
Are those guys still a thing?
I'm sure they are. I don't know in what numbers, but
I always thought some biker gang was just going to pull up and start beating them to death, and then they would never, be again. You know what I mean? Like, but America lets me down like that too.
Well, the thing that's hard about groups like that though is that if you go back at them with what they're giving you, all you're really doing is fueling them.
And when the pagans pull up, everything's a little different then.
That's true.
Here's some music. We'll be right back.
Bring out today. same old story. Boy finds girl, boy loses girl, girl finds boy. Boy forgets girl, boy remembers girl. And girl dies in a tragic blimp accident over the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day.
Good year?
No, the worst.
Oh, dear.
All right, that was Lulu Finn the Woohoo, bringing us some surf love. That was, what did I play for you? Boss, Jack the Ripper, and Jellyfish. Interesting off-air, because I had mentioned, oh, you know, the guy that was like that was Bob Ross, the painter of the Happy Little Clouds, and, you know, he historically never took any money from all that stuff. He just donated and stuff like that, and he was like a drill sergeant, so he was like, that was his escape, and he was actually a nice guy. He just did that, you know?
Yeah.
And then you were talking a little bit about the psychology of being that. I have this written down as a topic. I started watching All or Nothing. It's this football thing, you know? And you're watching it, and every year they pick one thing, and they go through camp with them, and then they go through, like, through their camp, through their training camp, and through the cuts, and through that stuff. And I'm watching this, and, you know, these are professional athletes, and they're doing that screaming and screaming and screaming and yelling, and then they're doing all those buzz phrases that you hear, you know, 110%, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, now...
Is this a football... Is this training, or is this just a corporate seminar?
No, I'm thinking of it like, at this point... Do you need someone hollering at you? Does Roger Roger Waters? Oh my God!
Tear down the wall?
Yeah, does tear down the wall guy? No, the quarterback for the Green Bay.
I don't know.
Rogers is his last player. Name. Right, Rogers is his last name. He's been doing this since he's four. Like, these guys have been doing this since they're like four or five. Do they need someone screaming at them? Like just. No one talks. They just scream.
They just be professional.
And I'm starting to think, like, do you think that ever works? Like, would that, like, when you go to a corporate seminar and they say all that crap to you, like, oh, you gotta excel in breast ring and 110% and think outside the box and shift paradigms. Don't you walk out just going, boy, that was just a waste of my time. Shut up. Tell me how to do better, but I don't need to hear that stuff. And I definitely don't want somebody screaming it at me. I never understood the philosophy behind it. And in football, it's even worse because they're just going to trade you.
Yeah.
Or you're going to blow your knee out and then you're gone. It doesn't matter. It's not a... I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
But they all do it. So it must mean something. They must have to... Maybe if you go to a really quiet camp, they'd be like, oh, this is never going to work. Or not screaming at anybody. How is he going to know not to drop the football if you don't scream in his face?
It's hard to say. Some of that might be tradition. You know, that might be one of those things where there's not a whole lot of scientific research being done on that. It's just kind of...
We've always screamed at our people.
Yeah.
Now run and push-ups and scream at you stupid idiot, you're supposed to catch.
Again, you know, like in the case of drill sergeants, there's a certain logic there, which is that under the stress of life and death, you need to be able to perform your job coolly and rationally, and if you're shooting a gun, you need to be able to load that gun. You know, when you your body fills with adrenaline, your fingers actually don't operate the way they're supposed to, and doing things like trying to, you know, to load a gun can become difficult, and aiming can become extremely difficult, and, you know, all that stuff. And so there is a rationale in the military for them doing that, to try to get people to a point where, under the worst of circumstances, they can keep a cool head and maintain. Because, again, it's not just keeping your mind in it, it's keeping your body in it as well, keeping those hormones from spiking and so making it harder.
Maybe that's it, too.
But maybe.
Aaron Rodgers. That's the guy's name.
But the thing is that something like football is not... I mean... To me, it would seem like, okay, football to me, and again, I'm as somebody who's...
I watch it a lot.
Yeah, I don't play. I've never really played it, but... I mean, I have, but horribly.
Yeah.
But to me, that would be like public speaking, which is one of those things where people... Like professional football, yeah, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of pressure. But if you do it every damn day, at some point...
Since they're six.
Yeah.
That guy has hit another guy across the line... Every day since he's six.
And public speaking, when you're not used to doing it, is scary.
Yeah.
But the thing is that after you get it under your belt a few times and the world doesn't come to an end, even better if things get screwed up and the world doesn't come to an end, it gets easier. And as a person who actually has trouble talking one-on-one with people, I'm more comfortable talking in front of 100 people than I am having a conversation with a stranger. To me, it seems like professional sports would be the same way. Like, if you're doing it day in and day out, at some point, you got to stop thinking about the live broadcast and the thousands of people in the stadium, because, like, it's just catching every a ball day. And running and
yeah.
or catching a guy.
Yeah, see, I always thought it was going to be like, because I assumed like watching this, I'd be like, well, yeah, I expect they're going to scream at them when they're like pee-wee, and that's just to keep their attention on the football because they just wander off into the road.
Right.
And you know, and then when they're in high school, you got to yell at them a little bit because they're dumb. And I figured it would taper off.
Like
and then,
by the
like,
time they got to NFL, they'd be like, okay, gentlemen.
Okay, this is what we're going to do, and then this is what we're going to do, and then go and do it. And they'd be like, okay, I got it. And then they go lift weights, and then they run. And then
like, sorry, losers, you get your...
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they do, and they scream and curse, and I'm like, ah, I didn't expect this at all. I thought you'd just talk to them like humans.
Like, that guy makes a few million bucks a year. I thought you'd, you know, like, call him sir.
Nope. Yeah. Oh, well. All right, here's some music. We'll be right back.
I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
Milton. Hi. Could you turn that down just a little bit?
Well, I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume from 9 to 11.
Yeah, no, I know you're allowed to. I was just thinking maybe like a, you know, personal favor.
Well, I told Bill that if Sandra's going to listen to her headphones while she's falling, then I should be able to listen to the radio while I'm collating. Uh-huh. So I don't see why I should have to turn down the radio because I enjoy listening at a reasonable volume.
Thanks.
From 9 to 11.
Melton.
Oh, my God, we're back. Of course, that was the 5678s. World-famous 5678s. I played off of their Can't Help It CD, Woolly Bully, Wild Thing, and Bond Girl. Three of their craziest ever. I love all three of those. They're action-packed awesome. So, yeah, I'm trying to think what else. You remember forums?
Yes.
I was sitting there the other day.
Like the Roman ones where they bring the slaves in and then the wild animals and they fight to the death? Yep. Yeah.
No, worse. The internet forums.
The internet forums, yeah. Much worse.
I was like, oh, my God.
I'm still in a few of those.
I'm on the pinball one, but I was on this. I was like, oh, I used to really be active on that Rotten Tomatoes forums. I should check out and see if they even have those anymore. I went there and they were gone, and I was like, huh.
That was a wise choice, I'm sure, because I'm sure conversations about movies and a popular movie website are very civil and very rational, and people calmly explain their points over multiple paragraphs and are polite to each other.
But in the beginning, it wasn't
other.
Anything like that, though. And no. Like, because I was there in the beginning of it. Not in the beginning of it, but that sounds... I mean, like, they weren't, like, the end-all be-all like they are now.
Right.
Like, it was just a place that talked about... That had movie stuff, and there was a lot of forums. Interested
in people that had that as an... Yeah. And I think that's the difference, is when you were dealing with a smaller group of people that had a focused interest, you know, it was easier to keep it on topic. Like, I imagine there's probably not a whole lot of fighting in your pinball forums.
Nah, they just tell you to shut up. Or, I mean, if somebody gets weird, they just lock them out, probably. I don't even know.
But as the audience expands and you get people that are less...
Cordial.
Yeah.
Intelligent, logical.
And perhaps a little more fringe, like, and maybe not quite as deep thinking about the subject matter as the original group that built it, you know.
All of a sudden, Jello Biafra, the singer from Dead Kennedys, decides to log on and tell everyone on that forum why this is the work of the devil, a.k.a. Trump, and you're like... We're talking about movies. Why are you here? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
And every.
But now the conversation is spiraled, and you're never getting it back.
You're like, oh, damn you, Jello Biafra. I kid, Jello Biafra. No. And then because it was non-existent. I was like, well, maybe because there was a point where they still had it, but it was hard to find. Mm-hmm. They made this transition when they rebranded. And I was like, well, it's still there.
They were like, we have a 5-year plan to get rid of this part of the site.
That's what it was. Well, it worked on me because I was like, well, I'm not going here anymore. And I was like, every now and then I would chime back in on something. But then I just got away from it because it didn't really pertain to the movie that I was watching anymore. Like, I'm more B movies, more show research for that kind of stuff. And then that, you know, Rotten Tomatoes don't have anything to do with B movies. You know, they don't care about that. It's all new stuff. So I was like, yeah, there was not. And I did a search. I was like, does Rotten Tomatoes have a forum? And they're like, no. Then I saw they turned their back. They're backstabbers. They're horrible people. I was like, probably.
They just got tired of paying somebody to moderate them.
Yeah, exactly. The moderators. You know,
it's funny because I remember not that long ago, I got sucked into a conversation on a forum, and I kept trying to present logical arguments for my position.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a solution to this problem. And if it's some, you know, and somebody finally chimed in, and they're like, look, nobody's going to listen to us. We don't really care what would really work and what doesn't work. We just want to complain. And I'm like, oh, okay. like after going back and forth with several people, and again, I'm like, I'll just keep it rational, and I'll win them over with what I'm saying, which makes sense. And one of them just like flat out said, like, we don't, you know, we have no power to instill the change we're talking about anyway. We don't really care. We don't really care if what we want can't be done or doesn't make sense. We just want to complain. And it was like, well, thank you for being honest.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm out.
mic drop. Yeah, it was just weird. Because I had also noticed a couple of people, people disappear from your Facebook world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't notice it. And you're like, oh, yeah, they're gone, like a mistletoe. King Don's daughter, she's just gone, and you know, and then a couple others.
And we know from real-world evidence that she still exists.
Yeah, and it's, you don't get those updates, and you don't even notice it because it's just the social media crap hole, you know. But then you go, oh, yeah. And then you look them up, and they're not there anymore, and they're gone. And that means they checked out because of all the privacy stuff or whatever, or they just got sick of it and deleted everything, you know.
And you again, go, they don't have to delete. They can, like, put their account on pause, which is weird. Because, again, I know a group of people that do this two or three times a year. And I think in our email exchange, I likened it to a crack addict that buries their pipe in the backyard
instead of
throwing it out. Never again. I'm burying this right here under this garden dome. Never again.
It's weird. And you miss something. Where's
that garden gnome?
Because, like, you know, especially with Mistletoe, she moved away. And I always liked keeping up with her. She's cool. I always dug her, you know. And now I don't have any means of conversation with her. I guess I could email her or something. But then you're like, oh, well, this weird dude emailing me. You know. It's just, whatever. It's just the world we live in.
I know what you mean. That is the one thing weird thing about Facebook. As much as I don't like Facebook, it does allow for a more casual conversation with people you're not that close to.
Or just like looking.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Look,
they're in Tennessee. That's
and
cool.
If you make a comment, it doesn't seem like you're a weirdo because...
You're just saying, hey. Yeah.
Whereas, sending somebody an email sort of out of the blue feels like you're, reaching.
I write an email to Ash. It's going to be like, she'd be like, who are you? And I'd be like, oh, I don't know. I thought of you the one day. I thought it was funny. And okay.
Yeah, never mind.
Never mind. Don't spray me.
Sorry to bother you.
Please do not send the cops. I was just saying hello. Yeah. Here's some more music before we go.
Silence, Earthling.
My name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
So good. Baby, love will make you feel alright. Love you all, my friend, I'll be so good. Love is a little, 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 little. Love is a little, 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 little. Love is a little, 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 little. Ah, take my heart, please don't break it, but don't hide away.
Love me the love, 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 love me as the pebbles yes we do. 60s flush of the skin.
Klaatu, Verada, Okay, then. That's it.